praise you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. There is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. Praise you. There is none like you. Good, right? We sing, there is none like the Lord. When the apostle wrote, he said, so that we would be encouraged by each other. Isn't that what he says? I want us to encourage each other this morning. I want to read a short passage, and I want anyone who has something they want to share. If it's a song you want us to sing, we'll sing that song. I don't know what's going on, but God is doing something in me, and I keep saying, God, don't stop. I say, God, don't stop. I've noticed some change in my life. I don't know about you, but I've noticed some change. You may not notice the same, but I noticed some change in my life. I noticed recently I could skip over some things that I couldn't skip over before. And I get to realize it's not just the power of God, but it's just obedience. It's just that God, I'm seeing different. I'm thinking different. And I said to God this morning while I was praying in here, I said, God, I don't want you to stop. I even want it to increase. I want to change the way I think about what I watch and what I do and how I speak and how I relate to people. I want my mindset to change, because when my mindset is changed, something happens. My attitude changes. The way I do things change because I'm changing the way I think. But here's the passage. It comes from, I think it's 1 or 2 Kings, it's chapter 8, but we'll know when I get there. Help us, Lord. We usually do this kind of thing on a fellowship Sunday, so just bear with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. All right. I'll try 1 Kings verse 8. No, that's not the one, so it'll be 2 Kings. Now Elijah had said to the woman, whose son she had restored to life, arise and depart with your household and sojourn where you can. For the Lord has called for a famine, and it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the word of the man of God. She went with her household and sojourning in the land of the Philistine 7 years. And at the end of 7 years, when the woman returned from the land of the Philistine, she went to appeal to the king for her house and her land. Now the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me all the great things that Elijah has done. And while he was still telling the king how Elijah had restored the dead to life, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appealed to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, here is the woman, and here is her son who Elijah restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed the official for her, saying, restore all that was hers. together with all the produce of the field from the day that she left the land until now. I don't know about you, but only God could orchestrate this. God is just on time, and that's what I want you to think about, some of the times that God was just on time for you. She had no idea what was going on. 7 years was up. After obeying the voice of the Lord and went somewhere so her life would be spared and she could take care of her family, 7 years was over and she came back and she wanted her property. And she wanted to go to the king. Now, look how God operates. At that very time, here is Gehazi. The king wants to know from Gehazi how the things that the prophet had done. And soon as he's telling her about this woman and the dead son that Elijah brought back to life, who was on the scene? The woman. Tell me this. Isn't that a just on time moment that is planned and orchestrated by God? That woman couldn't plan that time better if she tried. She couldn't. She could have thought about it. She could have think about when is the best time to go. She could have done anything. But God says this: you will make your plans, but he is going to determine the steps you take. And she was right there at the time that God appointed her to be there. And guess what? Soon as she opened her mouth, Gehazi, I said, here, there's the woman. And then the king said, tell me all about it. And because of God's appointed time, you know that she didn't lose one stitch. He says, give her the produce back from the time that she left. Whatever little her land produced from that time, it's hers. God is a just on time God. We may not see it. We may not understand it. We may even go in about our business, but when we obey God and when we walk according to God's way and when we walk according to God's plan, he is going to give you some just on time moments. Because he is the one that's going to take care of you. And I know this morning some of you have some just on time moments. Just on time. And you know what? You can't take the credit for those just on time. Could that woman stand up and say, look how I influence the king? God knew what the king needed so that she can receive what God has for her. God knew that. And God orchestrated it so that she will have that just on time, godly time moment. So this morning, I want to see how we could encourage each other with some just-in-time moments. Because I know we have some here. If you serve in the Lord and you have served the Lord for any time, you should have some just-in-time moments. I'll start. I just came to America, living in... I told my mother and grandmother when I was leaving, look, if I get to stay, I ain't coming back. If you understand, every person's dream from a third world country is to come to America. Because America have money tree. You go out in the backyard and you shake it. And as I'm driving home with my, it's my grandmother's sister, she said, you know, if you want to stay, you can. And that's not the just-in-time moment. So here I'm living with her, and I decide, no, I want to go to school. I want to go to the Votech school. And I went down. I told them. I filled out the forms, but I had no money to pay them. It was about $300-something for the course. I didn't have the money. You know, that was about 27, 28 years ago. And I was playing basketball. Jump up in the air to catch this ball, come back down, and I hear the sound when I hit the ground. I literally hear the sound, and my ankle swole up big. That's not my judgment. The principal, I never told the principal. I don't know how the principal knew me. She called. The registration was on a Monday. She didn't see me Monday. She didn't see me Tuesday. She called. And this time I'm praying. I don't know. And she calls and says, why, how come you didn't come to school? I said, I don't have the money. She says, come on down. We take care of it. I met her somewhere that something happened in the time I was at the tech filling out the forms or something that impressed something on her that I didn't know about. It was one of those just on time moments. I was in it. The only person who could orchestrate that was God. And I went to school there for 2 years. Just on time. Just on time. Do you have a just on time moment? Ed, you have a just in time? Yeah, you probably need to come here because Shannon don't like it when he doesn't have it on the...
Oh, my God. So he's going to hold me on accountable for this. But anyway, just in time moments. It's interesting how people that come from a different country and go through a lot are full of just in time moments. But I'll tell you this one, which impressed me to a great degree. As many know, we came to this country back in 1991. We left Brazil on September the 7th, and we arrived here on the 8th of September 1991. We had the knowledge of where my cousin lived back down here in Hawkinsville. And we had some good friends living in Boca Raton in Florida. And we knew addresses, but that was about it. No job, no perspective of job, no offer of a job. And so here we came. I collected everything I could of what I could sell in Brazil and all the money that we were saving, Harry and I, throughout years. But Harry went to a different place a month or so later, right?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah. So anyway, we're here looking for a place. We decided to buy a little station wagon down in Florida and come up. So I'm just going to try to abbreviate here as much as I can. We traveled upwards and we came to Hawkinsville to the house of my cousins. And we stayed there as like the headquarters where I could go and branch out and see what kind of cities were around this region where I wanted to stay. Well, I went to Macon, and I landed on the bad part of town, I guess. I just went in, and I looked at Macon. I said, I don't want to live here. Rundown houses and all that stuff. And, you know, the first impression is what sticks. So I said, oh, no, this is not me. So I went to the Savannah. I said, Savannah must be nice. I would like to live in that area, but close to the shore and all that stuff. Went there, and it was very historic, very nice, but my heart wasn't there. So we were driving around. We drove right in front of the base here in Warner Robins. We said, let's turn into this little city, see what it's all about. Turned in, and I liked it. You know, my heart was here. That was a small just-in-time moment because God had a purpose, so we decided to come. Anyway, after that, of course, we settled. We rented a little apartment and the Lake Vista apartments down here and all that stuff. And we started spending the money that we had earned in Brazil or saved up. And we didn't realize that, boy, money here went a lot faster than in Brazil. I was thinking I could live a good year or so with the money I accumulated. No, not so. Yeah, it started going pretty fast. What's interesting, and this is where I want to get... years earlier, maybe 2 years before we came, a friend of ours in Brazil that had a commerce, exchange business in between the United States and Brazil had borrowed some money from me, and he made up a little document and signed it that he would, once he had the money, he would come by and pay the with interest and all that stuff. But he was in Brazil. I was here now. So I even forgot about that money. It wasn't, For Americans, it wasn't a whole lot. It was a lot for me. It was like $2,500 maybe, $2,000 plus. It was money that I could use. And as our money was dwindling, we were back down to our last few hundred dollars in the bank, and I said, oh, we're in trouble, because Selma had found little odds and end jobs, cleaning some houses, and I was trying to land a little job here and there, I found, but nothing was happening. And there I was praying to God, saying, God, I need you. I need you bad. I need you to bail me out and help me. I need direction. So we were ready almost to move out of the city and look for something elsewhere. When I get this funny phone call there and said, oh, this is the UPS guy. Just confirm your address. And I said, I wasn't used to America, but usually in Brazil we don't deliver packages at night. But I said, this is America. Who knows? Here's the UPS guy where I need to confirm your address. I kind of find it weird. But anyway, I gave him the address and all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. And I open the door. Who's standing right there in front of me? The guy that owed me the money. He's standing there. I said, what are you doing here? He said, oh, I was in a conference here in Atlanta. I decided to come down and all that stuff. And we chit-chatted a little. And then he said, Ed, I think I owe you some money. You still have that little document. I went there and searched my drawers, and I found the little document. And he had stipulated the interest that he would pay. And it wasn't small interest. It was pretty good interest. And in the end, he says, okay, so tally the amount there, and I'll cut your check. Ended up that by the interest of the money and all that, it ended up like $6,300 or $6,400. Wrote a check out, signed it, give it to me, and I was looking there and saying, wow, I need this so bad. You know, and I said, God, you are a just-in-time kind of God, because God knew that I would not last another week or two with what I had. It would have been gone, and I had two children there taking care of, and I had no other alternative. So he gave me some breathing room, and then just to keep going on that, that's when I finally landed the job here, working as an employee in this place. He opened doors when we were ready to leave Warner Robins for good. He opened doors that could not be opened otherwise. But it was amazing. But I mean, you guys can imagine the relief. And I stood in awe of God, because of all people, that was the last guy expected to open the door and find him standing right there, you know. And God sent this man, touched his heart, sent him there. Because after that, I never saw him again. He called me a couple of times and just regular little courtesy calls and all that stuff. But never again did he seek me out. And I don't even know what he's up to this day, but That stuck in my mind and in my heart. And I forever will praise God because of his goodness.
All right. Anybody else?
In time. I'm gonna make it real, real short. Before I got the job where I'm at now, I worked at Bluebird, the bus manufacturer corporation down in Fort Valley. And around that time, my wife and I were very poor, very poor. And the way I got that job, that's my just-in-time moment. The way I got this job, I was working as a garbage truck driver. And I just found the Lord. The Lord just found me. He'd been with me. My wife had been attending New Hope, which he's familiar with, before they became really big and known. And I wasn't attending New Hope. But after some time, I began to follow my wife and attend New Hope. And what happened was, as a young Christian, I didn't understand the word very much. But I was excited about it. This is before I landed the job at Bluebird. That's my just-in-time moment. So I had some animosity and some buildup from the worldly life that I tried to carry and go with my Christian living, and it didn't work. So it would be constant back and forth with the new boss at my former job, constant back and forth of pushing and scrubbing. And eventually I got fired because of my arrogance and attitude at the trash company. And at that time, my wife was pregnant with our third child, Judah, and going to school at the same time. So here we are in a two-bedroom apartment, no job, two kids, and a pregnant wife in school. I have no parents. They're passed. They're long gone. And at the time, her mom was without a job, I think. So we were kind of stuck in a hard place. And I apologize. I apologize to God, and I apologize to my wife for my decision, what I had done. But I was desperate. I was hopeless. And I called friends, and I just put it all on the table. I didn't beg them. I just pleaded them to pray, you know, because I didn't know what I just done. And it comes to a point where I became desperate. And I asked God, I said, God, I need you to intervene. I need you to do something, you know, because I really have messed up my family, you know. And we're about to lose it all. We didn't have food. We didn't have any money for the bills, the car note, you know. So I prayed, called up a friend, and he prayed with me, Lawrence. Filled our application out, excuse me, for Bluebird. And when that happened, a week went by after filling the application out. They gave me a call. And in that conversation, the human resources person, the lady, asked me about my qualifications. And I gave everything I had without fudging anything. And she said to me, yeah, I don't think that you're what we're looking for. We're looking for somebody that's skilled in these areas when it comes to being precise and measuring and building these buses. And I said, ma'am, I would just love the opportunity just to show you what I can do, you know, just to give it a shot. She said, well, I'll put you down for an interview, and I don't know, but I don't think you're what we're looking for. So I went to the interview, and I sat down with her first before I sat down with the supervisor. And before I got there, I prayed, and I trusted God. I got this feeling in me that things were going to be okay, but I didn't know for sure. She sat me down, and she spoke to me again what she thought. She said, Mr. Blam, I'm not seeing here on your application, on your resume, that you're what we're looking for here at Bluebird. You know, I think that we're looking for more experience, a little bit more age. You're kind of young. I probably was 22, 23, something like that. And I said, well, ma'am, I'd just love to just see what you got. She said, well, I'll tell you what. Let me give the foreman, who's on the floor right now, a call and see can he come up there and evaluate you. She called this guy around, and at first she couldn't reach him. She called him again, and he comes around the golf cart. And he said, okay, hop on in. Hop on the golf cart. I'm going to take you through the plant. And this plant is huge. And we're riding around, and he takes me to a spot where they're going to be building and manufacturing the parts and going by the blueprint drawings and everything. And he says, can you read this? And I had already done this work as a teenager at Lithonia Lighting. And it all came back to me just like that in a moment. So I looked at it. He said, how many breaks in this part, meaning how many angles in this part are repeated? I look at it, and I count the two on this side, and they repeat on this side. I said, it repeats itself two. So, okay, that's good. And then, can you make that part? He hands me the piece of metal. It's a blank sheet of metal. And I set the machine up, break the metal, and measure it. You're hired. Just like that. We went from zero in our bank account, zero, to on the spot, hired. I remember when that man said I was hired, I don't know what I said to him. I remember blinking out for a minute. I said, did he just say I was hired? And he just sitting in his golf cart like, come on, man, let's go. I said, are you serious? Me? He's like, yeah, come on, get in the golf cart. I worked there for 5 years, and the Lord doubled my income working there. I became the second in command at that position I was at. They had a supervisor, foreman, then me. And the Lord blessed me and my family So that's my God. That's my just-in-time moment from the Lord.
Well, my encouragement is that God is just in time about everything, even to the smallest, tiniest thing that it may not even be important. It may not be life-shattering. It may not be life-altering. But when you need something, He provides, and He is there. And this past week, we were looking for a costume for Camille, and finding costume pieces can be a challenge, and it can be, you never the right thing in the right time, the right place, unless you want to pay a lot of money. Because, I mean, you can go to the Party City and pay for the costume, and it's cheap, and it falls apart, but it usually will last you through the moment. But I was trying to come up with some pieces for the costume without having to do that, because I don't have $20 or $30 or $50 or $100 to pay for an Indian maiden costume. Well, Indian maiden clothes are not in style currently, just so you know. And we were looking at Goodwill, which makes it even more challenging, because obviously things have to be there because somebody donated them. Timing is everything. You don't always find something that fits you, let alone that's the style that you're looking for. And truly, miraculously, we went to Goodwill, and we were just looking, picking through the clothes and looking for something, and Camille found gold moccasins, which I don't think even Walmart's got moccasins for sale right now. I don't think moccasins are in. So we found a pair of gold moccasins that fit, which is incredible, because we try shoes on regularly, and we don't find things we want, even at Payless. So that was amazing. She brought them to me, and I was like, wow. But they were gold, which is not very Indian-ish. But hey, we can use some shoe polish and fix that, you know. We found some pants, because the Indian tribe that she is representing wore pants under their tunic tops, whatever. So we found some pants that would work. And the shirt, obviously, the tunic, an Indian tunic with beading, you know, not going to find it. So I was hoping. I found a nice brown top that was a little longer. It had fringe around the neck. I'm like, well, hey, fringe, little Indian-ish, you know, maybe this will do. And I'm walking up and down the aisles just pulling stuff out and looking, and I saw something that was kind of a tan buckskin color and long sleeve, and I pull it out, and it's white. We needed. It was perfect. It was the right shape. It was big enough I could pull it in, because, you know, too small you can't fix. Too big you can fix. And it was cut right, and it was decorated, and it was the right color, and it was that suede-y fabric that's kind of like the buckskin finish. And it was just incredible that all the things that we needed were right there at the right time, all at the same time in the same place. I didn't have to go to 12 different Goodwills. Which is what I was expecting, was I figured I'd just start hitting them until I found what I needed. But God just put everything together in the same location at the right time. And it was just, for someone who's busy and has a lot on their plate, it is just such a blessing that I didn't have to take extra time. And everything was there at just the right moment.
Just to pigtail onto what she just said, her husband got up off of his chair and started helping her clean the craft room, and we found a few remaining pieces of the costume, including some not gold moccasins in a kit form that we had bought years and years ago and had ended up in a box. They'd never been put together, and so we found it, and between Camille and Anya and Carol, they got some actual leather moccasins put together, and a little beaded pouch that, again, we bought because, you know, I and my son were in a camping program at one time, and so Native American garments and whatnot were in. So we bought the little things, the extras. Well, it's the little things that make the outfit. So praise God that he caused me to get up and help Carol and clean and find this thing and add to the costume. So I want to praise God.
Anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out here.
When Esther, Kate, and I took a trip down to Florida and borrowed a Garth's car for that, before we left Warner Robins, we decided to run to Walmart real quick to grab some stuff. So we're all ready. We got all our stuff. We just pull into Walmart, and we grab what we need, come back to the car, and we couldn't get in. And I had, you remember the doorknob problem we had. And so I had the keys out, and I'm trying to get in, can't get it. So I called my dad. He comes over, and we're just trying to get in, nothing's working. And I'm like, well, guess we're not going to Florida. And that's what I'm thinking. And this guy walks by, and he laughs. He was like, you locked your keys in the car? And that kind of, like, made me upset. I'm like, no, I did not. You know, the doorknob's just having trouble, you know. And he's like, hold on a second. And he goes, and he gets, like, a tool or something, and I'm just hoping he hurries up and leaves because I feel, like, offended, you know, because I didn't lock the keys in the car. And he had a Jeep Cherokee, pulls up, opens the back, pulls these tools out, goes over to the door, messes around, and it opens up. And I was like, how'd you do that? And he's like, I don't know. And he was, like, just as surprised, like, I couldn't figure that out, but that's what we needed, and we were able to continue on a trip, so that was just in time only.
Kleenex, I've got some. Sometimes there are times that instead of a just-in-time moment, it's a just-perfect timing moment. And that can be very, very important too. I just spent over a month away from home. That scripture this morning was perfect timing. For perfect timing, you're to leave and spend time with family. And that's what I have done in the last year and a half, and will continue to do. And I was just seeking the Lord's will last night as, Lord, where do I go from here? What do I do? What, you know, I don't have someone asked if I had a home when I was in Florida, and I said, no, I'm homeless. Well, where's your home? Home? You have a home? No, I just live with my daughter and her husband. Anyways, the scripture was perfect timing this morning, but what I want to speak of is when it's not just in time, but when it's perfect timing. I've spent all the time in Florida, drove back, parked my Jeep, went out and got in on Thursday, got in, took the children to school, came back. Friday I went out and got in my Jeep, and nothing. My Jeep is so dead. It is so broken. So my son-in-law will take care of the problem, I'm sure. But that could have happened to me anywhere on the road, in between here and there. Who knows? When I came out from school, we could have been sitting over at the church and with a dead car because the ignition, whatever it is, that needs fixing. So God's timing is perfect. Even when bad things happen or inconvenient things happen and you love the Lord, those things that are going to happen, the timing of those things are important as well. So I thank the Lord.
You know that. What, Harry's not going up there? So. Uh-huh, yeah. No, but, yeah. You know, just kind of piggybacking on what my brother said, yes, I came up 3 weeks after he did. And because, interestingly enough, he got his papers from the American consulate in Rio de Janeiro, in time, so they went for the interview and all that. And they never called me. And I never received anything in the mail, so I'm worrying about that. And I decide to call them, and that 800 number, it's virtually impossible to get through. But one day yet work, and my brother and I were working together at that time. So I decided only Tuesday afternoons you could call the consulate. They were not on the phones any other day of the week. So I just stayed on that phone until I got through, and I found out that they did mail, you know, my invitation for the interview there. But amazingly, his arrived. Mine got lost in the Brazilian mail. So we were now running against time because the American government, if you want to come into this country legally, you have to provide documents, which now Obama's trying to just pardon everybody who did it illegally. They had to go through nothing of this, but they're going to get all the benefits. But hey, that's just another story. And so we had to have affidavits of support from relatives here in Brazil. They were not going to allow immigrants to come here and, you know, end up, God forbid, living on the government. You know? But anyway, so our affidavits were just about to run out when all this happened. So we had to rush to Rio de Janeiro and went through the interview and all that. And the consul there said okay and, you know, gave us the okay. But that's, you know, the just-in-time moments and all that. But when we got here, then there were numerous just-in-time moments because just like my brother, I had some money saved up. But we had no work history in USA. And I was not a 21-year-old guy at the time. When I arrived here, I was 40. And in Brazil, you can't even get a job, hardly, if you're that age in Brazil. You just can't. You know, so keep your job if you're, you know, not a 25-year-old. But so I just want to praise the Lord that you're desperate. God knows it because He sees our hearts. He knows, you know, how desperate we're getting. And I believe that He already has a plan to bless us, but He wants to see if our heart is going to say, okay, Lord, I don't know what to do. If You don't step in right now, I'm not going to make it. And then He does. But it reminds me of many people in the Old Testament that when bad things happen to them, they would credit the Lord for that. I still don't know if that's the way we should believe or not. I just know it's in the Bible. You know. People who were going through a lot of stuff, and then when they would give a testimony of what was happening or had happened in their lives, they'd say, God treated me in a very bitter way. There was that widow woman there that she changed her name to, you know, Mara in Portuguese, which was bitter. Because she said, God did this to me. I don't know. I know that if God does all the negative, awful things in our perspective to us, it always has a good outcome. But we certainly don't like to go through those things, and especially we wouldn't like to credit God. Say, Lord, why are You treating me this way? You know, He might say, read my word. You will see what's truly in the heart of all men, and then you understand that I'm not treating you unfairly. You know, fair would be to treat you a whole lot worse than this, but I won't do that because I love you. But I'm doing all this so I can get you from here to there. So many just-in-time moments since we arrived here, and just praise God for that. If He's done it all to me, praise God. If I've done it to myself, like, you know, I tend to believe more is that, well, I did all this stuff to myself, but hey, praise the Lord.
Don't mind through. God's got you. God's got you. Same lady that told me I could stay in the United States a year or so later put me out. I had nowhere to go. Had no family. I came with, you know, the smallest suitcase in a set? That's what I came with. When I left, I had a little bit more than that when she put me out, and I'm in her driveway. In her driveway with my little suitcase and a box with some clothes in it, and I'm saying, Lord, where do I go from here? I remember there was a kid at my church that wanted me to be his brother, so I called his mother. And she came and got me. God, the things that happen, God places you so He can get you where you need to be. I remember I'm there and I see this guy riding a bicycle in front of his house, in front of the lady's house. She's going to school. There was a Christian school there. And I said, boy, this guy, who is this guy? I see him every day riding to school on this bike with short water pants, flood pants. I said, boy, that's sure a nerdy guy. I went to a revival and I met the guy and I realized he loved the Lord. And we kind of love the Lord together, and I get to like the guy. And I knew I was going to go to Tocoa then, and I don't know how I'm going to get to Tocoa. So I'm telling him all this, and he said, wait, I have a brother that's going to Tocoa, and you could ride with him when he is going. Whoa. Well, that nerdy guy ended up being my roommate at Tocoa Falls College. That was George. You know. So God, let me tell you something. We don't see it. Sometimes you're going through something and you don't understand it. Because let me tell you, I didn't feel too good standing on that driveway. I didn't feel too good feeling lost and have nowhere to go. I wish I knew what I know now then, that God got me. Because he got me. And God took me from where I was to where he wanted me to be. And I had nothing to do with it. Father, I pray right now for each one of us. I pray, God, that you would touch each heart, each mind, each soul. Let us know, God, that you are in me.